Hello, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning in once again to our Boardroom Chats. God is doing wonderful things. We just came out of a phenomenal Southwest Believers Convention.
Yes, it was so powerful.
It was a blessing.
You
of getting
did a
all
great
kind
job.
Of testimonies. Well, thank you. But, you know, the Lord did a good job. I just showed up. That's all I did. Kathy, I want to start with some of these testimonies that people said about the Southwest Believers Convention. Listen
just,
to this.
Just,
I believe it'll bless you.
Yes, just a sampling. This one comes from Facebook. It says, "The Southwest Believers Convention was awesome indeed. What powerful messages by Brother Jesse. The energy was electric and the presence of God was palpable."
Palpable.
It inspired many.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Sarah says, "Testimony time. One lady told me she has been believing for her husband's salvation. He went to the altar call during Brother Jesse's Southwest Believers session
Praise God.
Bless God.
48 people got saved on Friday night.
I was such a powerful time. Love seeing that coming up. I'm glad you did that. I love seeing people come. Remind me of the first Believers Convention that you were at.
Oh, yeah. I never forget. Brother Copeland told me to, you know, give an altar call. And now this is the very first thing. This is 36 years ago. And I said, why would you give an altar call at a believers convention? Ain't nobody gonna come. They're all believers.
Right.
He said, no, they not. And I said, are you sure? He said, just do it. 601 people stood up and gave their life to the Lord.
Wow.
Actually came forward at a believers convention.
Uh-huh. Right.
You'd be surprised how many people just say one thing and live another.
Yeah, I know.
That's true. What else we got?
Well, this one, next one's from Robbie. It says, Brother Jesse's Southwest Believers messages touched me. I was watching it in the middle of the night. Thank each and every one of you for what you do in other people's lives.
Praise
God. A lot of people were there in the conference, in the convention center there in Tarrant County Center in Fort Worth, Texas. But so many more were watching online from all over the world. They were registered from every nation.
It was a blessing.
It truly was.
A great
blessing. And this one's from Kelly. It says, I watched online and could feel the anointing through the airwaves.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Yeah, some of them watched directly through the Victory Channel or online through social media, through our site as well.
That's right.
We carried it on our social media platform. So so glad that y'all were watching. Love reading the comments. This last one says, Brother Jesse is the bomb.
A bomb.
That's a good thing.
Is that a good
thing?
Yeah,
I think it is. It says, I remember when he preached on how God is able to make all grace abound toward me, that I can have all, and it's all in big caps, all sufficiency for every good work. I named and assigned our offering during that last night of the Believers Convention, and I am expecting a harvest. P.S., I am a JDM partner.
What a blessing of the Lord. Yeah, on Friday night, the Lord said, I want you to preach that sermon called All. And I did it many, many years ago. And I wanted to do something different, you know, because I like new things. And the Lord said, do what I tell you to do. And let me tell you what the Lord did. I was in my hotel room getting ready to go, and I reached for my briefcase, because I had it in my study. He said, leave that right there.
Because that's your notebook.
That's
all
my
your
notebook
notes.
With all the kind of sermons that I wanted to preach. He said, you're going to preach out of your spirit. So I took my little Bible, just about this big.
Little tiny one.
Yeah, and I went and I just shucked the corn and balled the potatoes.
You sure did. Served up a fresh one.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And God was so good and gracious. I want to talk a little bit more about that, because we were talking about vision, because every one of you people have a vision. And the reason why you can't seem to get there is you hadn't found the gift God has given you. So once you find your gift of what God wants you to do, you'll know what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. And you will not be restrained in any way, shape, or form. Satan will do everything he can to stop you, but he can't, because you have the gift that God gave you and you have the vision that you need to walk through. Because if you don't know where you're going, you're not going to know when you get there.
I love that, Jesse, because, you know, a lot of people really don't realize how valuable they are to God.
That's right.
All of us are so different, but all of us are so important. And I think when you say that they discover their gift, they start looking, well, maybe I am valuable to God.
You better
maybe
know
there
you
is something. And they, for the first time, many of them, their eyes are open to the fact that they are uniquely positioned by God right where they are, or where they're going to be, and he's preparing them for that next step. So I love the fact that you stirred them up about that vision.
If you think about the gift, I'll use myself as an example. I just knew I'd be a musician, and I was. I mean, I went into the rock world and all that kind of stuff, and I enjoyed playing, but that was not my gift. That was my talent. It's a vast difference between the two.
That's good.
See, I had a talent, you know, which is playing music, because I can play 11 instruments, things of that nature.
Yeah, and talent is not limited to just musical instruments.
No,
I had other talents.
Well, you got a lot of talent. Yeah, Kathy does.
I can't. I did learn to play the clarinet, but I wasn't good at it. I wasn't talented. It was a learned thing. But there's many people that have so many different callings and gifts and talents, and all of them are important to fulfill God's plan for the earth.
But I actually thought my talent was what I was going to do. And then when I got born again, I found out he gave me a gift of speaking this word. And I thought, my Lord, I can't preach. I'm not qualified. And also he gave me something called joy or humor. I never had that before. Never, serious. I mean, I told a joke once in a while, you know, that kind of like anybody else would do, but never that, what I do today. And I'm known as the Apostle of Joy, who tagged that name to me was John Hagee, probably 30, 35 years ago. And so when I found my gift, now you're looking at one man blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm going to do when I get there. See, that's what I'm talking about. It's vision. I wrote a point, and I want to read it to you that I did at the Believers' Convention. To reach a goal in life, and many of you have goals, you have to live in the moment and have faith for the future. Mm. See, today's journey is a stepping stone towards tomorrow's dream. See, you're on a journey. You're not just running something. You're on a marathon. So let me say it again. To reach a goal in your life, you have to live in the moment and have faith for the future. Today's journey is a stepping stone toward tomorrow's dream. See, when someone tells you you can't do that, they're talking to themselves. They're not talking to you. Because the Lord said you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Or who strengtheneth you? You know, and you think, well, I just never thought I could do that. It wasn't your thought, it was God's thought. And he gave you that gift so you can develop it. When you came up to me, you couldn't say three words in a church without crying and everything. Kathy was very shy and all that kind of stuff. But the day came when she found her gift. And she said, you know, I'm called to preach. And I thought, now I didn't say this, but I thought she can't say three words without busting out crying. But buddy, when the gift showed up, the talent was already there. But when the gift showed up, it began to move, and then it developed her into a pastor. You're now pastor of Covenant Church. How many years have you been pastor?
Now? Well, 9 years. In August, it'll be 9 years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's such a blessing. That's what I mean, you know. That was just all the other things she did were just a stepping stone to where God wanted her to go.
Well, I like what you said, stepping stone, but there was always a preparation time, and I'm thinking the same thing for you.
Well, sure.
All the things that you did when you were growing up, some of the little... Even the grass cutting jobs or the diligence that you applied for that, or maybe just even when you were in the rock business, the being able to stand in front of a bunch of people and just be at ease. Mm-hmm. I had to work on that. I'm still having to work on that. Like, but it seems to come so easy.
But see, Kathy, that was the talent. That was not the gift. The gift was, let me tell you what the gift. It showed up Friday night when I gave an altar call.
Yeah, what did
48 people got born again?
What did John Hagee's, or Diana Hagee used to say that the Nielsen ratings?
Yeah,
are in
John
the,
said the news.
Diana said it.
She said the Nielsen ratings to a message is the altar call.
Yeah,
that's a great statement.
It's a great statement.
That is a great statement.
It shows the results of what you just
the
preached.
The gift.
Lives were changed.
Yes, I was able to say something that God used my mouth to say something to change someone's life for eternity.
Yes.
Now, you know, people are always trying to put their faith in the future. Faith is in the now. Actually, faith, the word now is a word that connects time. I wasn't telling them when I was giving that altar call, get saved tomorrow. Get saved 2 weeks from now. No, now.
Right.
And it connected time right there because faith is not the finish line. It's the beginning line. And that's
that.
What we're talking about.
Yeah,
it was
and
a
that
blessing.
Message. What was the title of that message that you given a few points to? What was it called?
Which one? The one I was preaching
to? The one you're talking about now.
This year, if you refuse to be contained or restrained, you cannot be confined or imprisoned.
That's great.
And that really is message. The truth, you know. I mean, and when you understand what that means, you know, it's just a blessing. It's always somebody telling you what you can't do. All the time. Well, you know why? Because they tried it and you did it. I did a faith to facts, and Chris is in here. I think it was, I said, to be a doer instead of a trier. If you want books wrote about you, people write books about doers, not triers.
Triers, right.
See what I mean? You don't try, you do, you see? So when you understand that God says you can do this, but you got to understand that gift.
Mm-hmm.
See, because then God takes that gift, molds it, makes it bigger and better for his glory. It's right. Not for your glory, it's for his glory. The talent that he gave you, you can take glory on that because he gave you that. That's a glory thing. But the gift is what changes people and ministers greatly to people. So, you know, for eternity, it's not just a one-time situation.
Yeah.
It's a powerful thing.
And it's all about fulfilling the big vision, the ultimate vision of God for all
Amen.
Mankind.
To go in the world, preach the gospel to every
creature.
That's
so true. And all of us have a part in that vision or that of God to reach the world.
And you can't do it without faith.
That's so true.
See, without faith, you won't be aware of your true destination. Uh-huh. You see what I'm saying? Why? And without destination, you won't be able to have motivation to move forward. There's two things I tell people all the time as ministers: motivation and momentum. I preached a sermon called The M&Ms of Ministry. Yeah. I do like M&Ms.
I like that. Yeah, you do like them.
Yeah, motivation.
He likes the peanut ones, not the other ones.
I like the other ones, but I mean, I like
the peanut
ones.
You ever heard that joke about people that have all those nuts in the bowl, and it was the leftovers from the guy just eating just the candy around it? That's disgusting. I don't know why I brought that up. But anyway.
Yeah, you see, you got to know where you're going so you know when you get there. See, motivation and momentum. See, what happens is you have to just keep going. And you have to convince people that what God says is true.
Yeah. You know, Jesse, I was thinking about the text from that teaching. I loved it. It was so powerful. You really talked. It was in the gospel in Joshua chapter 1, and how God, there was a vision the promised land that the people of Israel were going towards. And here it was, the man who was leading them was no longer there. He had died.
It was a 40-year-old vision.
Right.
I mean, they've been in the wilderness for
40 years. It was, they were on a detour because some didn't believe, so they had to wander in that wilderness for 40 years. But here it was at the end of that 40 years, ready to go in the promised land, and Moses, the one who had led them and delivered
them,
was not there. So God had a message to the next generation.
This is kind of, I've never heard anybody ever do this. This is a funeral going on.
Right.
For the top man. God says to Joshua, Moses, my servant's dead. Now, I'm going to paraphrase. Now, get your butt up and cross that Jordan.
Right.
In other words, the whole promised land is in front of them, and they're going like this. I don't know. I miss Moses. Well, I'm glad you did, but get up and cross the Jordan. Your whole vision, the whole promised land that you've been believing for 40 years is one river away from you. Step into the water.
Yeah.
Get over and then go into the promised land. Now, you're going to have some fights. That was Jericho, that's Ai. You're going to have, but it'll make no difference. Once God gives you something, no devil in hell can stop you from receiving it.
Right.
Unless you just stay there and bawl and squall in the wilderness when there's a promised land in front of you.
Right.
See, like when I married Kathy, the promised land was in front of me. He said, do you take this woman to be your love?
Well, I didn't think of myself as a piece of ground, the promised land.
Not a piece of ground, you know. But I said, yes. Well, because what was going on is today.
Right. That
this boardroom chat was there in 1970 at 11 a.m. at Holy Rosary Catholic Church.
In Houma, Louisiana.
We were standing in the wilderness looking across to the promised land, young, 17, 20. No, I was 20 years old. I mean, and ready to go. June bride, as we was.
We made the next year. I made 18, you made 21.
The next month.
That summer, within a few months, both were older.
Not a few months, the next month.
You made
June the 6th, we were married. I made 21 July the
9th.
Made 18 August the 30th.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, just a few weeks. But we were
ready. I don't know why we feel we got to qualify that. That's still young. 20,
that's
18,
very young.
18 was still
but
young.
But here's the thing. It was the promised land.
Right.
It was our life together. And we've been married 56 years.
I remember.
That's a long time.
I'm reminding this, like it says, arise and go. That, and the translation here I was looking at says, advance, go forward.
Yeah.
And so we had to go forward. But I remember there was a time when we were engaged and I was making all the plans for the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And I sent out the invitations and you came to me.
I got scared.
One night you said, Kathy, don't you think we ought to just postpone this? And I looked at him, I said, no, it's now or never. And I must have had a look on my face.
It's now or never.
I must have had a look on my face. It was like,
oh, yeah.
Because I would have put you at the curb if you'd have done that to me after I had put invitations out there. I said, this guy is not a lifetime partner. So, but you changed your mind. I was able to convince you to arise and go.
She had the gift. She found her gift. You see,
you were wavering, I guess, but your daddy had told you that.
People, see, I listened to someone else. It wasn't you. It had nothing to do with you. You know, people try to change your mind. Not that he disliked it. He was just razzing me and all that kind of stuff. But the thing I want you to get over, Moses, my servant, is dead. He's not mad at Moses. He breaks into a field. Now, if you look this way, everything you ever believed for, all of it is right there. Now, what are you doing? Get up and walk. That's what I mean. That's vision.
I love the verse in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. This is the words of God to Joshua at that time. He says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses.
He's already given it.
He's already done. It was, I have already given to you. No, but they had to still advance. They had to still arise and go. They had to possess or the land, dispossess the people that were in that land.
Confess it. Possess
exactly. Exactly.
See, what is the definition of Christianity? Advance.
Advance.
Go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
True.
See, so when you see that, but see, look, you're so close, and they're going like a.
Well, you know, he must have had some concerns, thinking, you know, who am I to step in? This guy Moses was bigger than life, you know, to everybody, of course. He had moved.
But he said that to God, the whole nation, Catherine, not just to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot. Because every way he walked, them people walked. Mm-hmm. He couldn't possess the whole promised land just himself. But with a whole nation behind him, he could.
Right. Joshua would be leaving them. It spake to Joshua. God spoke this to Joshua, says in verse 1. And they were all to hear it, I'm sure. He communicated to them. But I like verse 5, what he says. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. Where is this? This thing is not doing this right.
As it was with Moses.
As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear to their fathers to give them. God still had his mind on the promise that he gave way back to Abraham.
Well, you know what God said to Joshua? He said to me that no man will be able to stand before you. Because see, when you're different, people fear you. And I was totally, completely different and still different as a minister. And I mean, I had people come against me, tried to destroy me in the very beginning of my ministry. I had one pastor called everybody and told them to cancel me because they had asked me to come. I've had whole denominations come against me, cancel me to try to shut me down, and none of it ever worked. You know why? Because I crossed the Jordan of my life, and I was walking in the promised land, and God said, because you went forward,
right,
I will be with you all the days of my life. And you know, I thought he would quit. Now, I've been doing this now 50 years, and I still got people coming against me, lying about me, or take a video and fix it the way it sounds like I'm lying about this and lying about everything. But you know what? They go by the wayside, and yet we just still keep walking, reaching people, changing
lives.
Nothing
new under the sun. They did that to Jesus.
Jesus
they
constantly.
Actually did it to every prophet. Jesus corrected them. Yeah.
Can you imagine Jesus eating a sandwich and they called him a glutton?
Do you think they had sandwiches back then?
I think so. Yeah. And right there, this is some water. Take a sip. He's a wine bibber. No, he's thirsty. He's drinking something.
They were always trying to control him.
Constantly. And it made me try that, but your gift will supersede them. And God gave me a thought. He said, Jesse, preaching will supersede thought, and it will make people think. You see. And that's the whole thing we're talking about. One of the greatest things God uses is imagination. Boy, I call it faith imagination. You know where I learned it from? Children. You ever seen kids playing with a little toy or something? Like if they have a little truck or a little car or something like that, and they're doing this. In their little mind, they're all over the interstate, driving up and down the mountains, all that kind of. And they may just be on a little table by this side. And I go, maybe one day they will drive up and down those mountains and whatever,
yeah.
You know,
well,
and all those
kind
of things.
That's what God did for Abraham. He showed him, this is how God works. This is how faith works. He says, go out, walk the length and the breadth of the land.
Yeah, look to the north.
Look to the north. Look at the stars.
Woo.
This is how many children you're going to have. At that time, Abraham didn't have any children. So
no.
God uses our imagination.
And his wife
was
barren.
He uses objects to help us to understand the bigness or the greatness of the vision that he has for us.
You know, his wife was barren. In other words, he cannot have no children. She made a mistake, one of the biggest mistakes any woman can ever do. Don't ever give your husband away to another woman, because he's going to take her. You know, and because it's a sexual thing.
He made the mistake too. Don't throw it all on Sarah.
I ain't finished talking yet. You don't have to take her. I agree, he shouldn't have done that. And that's why we have the Arab-Israeli problem today. But you know what? I got to say, it wasn't Sarah's maid's fault. She demanded that. Now you think about
that. That's what happens when you try to fulfill the vision of God in the
flesh.
Have
you ever thought about trying to give me away?
Never. Well, maybe so. Sometimes I say, go.
Go. She used to tell me and Jonas at the time, she'd stick her finger out. Go. The dog would take off.
But not in a way that would make you happy. I wanted you to be miserable.
Yeah, she's mad about something. And Jody said, Mama mad. I said, out the door, man. The dog go.
And I'm sure it was justified, don't you think?
Well, I think it was, yeah. You know, it was. We just used to love to make Kathy mad because it was funny when she's getting mad. One time she had just come out the bathroom. She had her hair wrapped around with one of them towels, you know, they look like Pharaoh, you know. Go! And we took off, son. We and Jody got out the house. And Bojack, the dog.
I don't even remember why y'all were angry.
I was angry with you. We got
guys.
A picture going.
Doing you?
Yeah, we got a picture.
We got to get rid of that thing.
But I tell you one thing, when you understand that no one will keep you down unless you decide to stay down.
Right.
Micah chapter 7 says, when I fall, people make mistakes, I shall arise. So your vision, you're going through, there's going to be some stumbling blocks. Now, and you may stumble. Just get up and keep going. Mm-hmm. Keep going, you know?
Because ultimately, the plan
like Sylvester Stallone, keep punching.
Keep punching.
That's what he said. Keep punching like Rocky,
if
you know?
If something needs punching, punch it. No, but the thing is that I love the rest of it because God's had a plan. He had to keep going. God, and I love this verse 7. I know we're still in Joshua chapter 1. God is still talking to Joshua, giving him instructions. He says, only thou be strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest.
Kathy, why do you think God said that? You know why I think?
Why?
Worry's a hijacker. Mm. It comes to hijack your vision. It comes to hijack everything you think, say, and do. Worry's a hijacker. You have to win in your mind before you win in life. That's why God said in Romans 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's nothing wrong with being concerned about things. I want everybody to listen to me. You can be concerned about something, but you shouldn't let it develop into worry. Then worry becomes a cancer and takes you over. Worry and fear come together and messes you up. And that's why I called him. He said, I don't want you only courageous. I want you very courageous.
Right. And then, because God wanted him to prosper, the very thing a lot of people attack.
He also wanted him to remember, God, no man's going to stand before you.
Right.
You just keep going.
So, because you're going to, my hand is upon you.
That's
because
right.
My hand is upon you, you are going to prosper. That word prosper, and I'm just put a little tap on my iPad here, and it's for to define the word. It said prosper means to do well, to succeed in material terms.
Amen.
Be financially successful. So it wasn't just a spiritual prosperity God was talking about. He was leading them to a land he called it land of milk and honey. That was the land of abundance. Because God had a plan for his children to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out.
Well, one of the
everything
greatest
they touched, put their hand to was supposed to prosper.
That's right. And it still does today. God hadn't changed his mind.
That's God's plan. See, so don't be attacking God's plan.
No.
You're in the wrong territory when you're attacking prosperity. God really wants his people to be blessed in every way.
Well, you know, the reason why I call it a land of milk and honey. Well, first of all, honey, back in the day, I mean, people like something sweet, and that was a natural sweetener.
Yeah, I like milk and honey. I equate that to creme de glace, which is a sweet ice cream.
Yeah, Kathy, I like ice cream.
Butter pecan ice cream.
Instead of
milk and honey, because I really don't like, I don't drink a lot of milk. I don't really love,
I love
honey,
milk.
But I love ice cream. So
and let me tell you
that's
something.
That's the promised land.
Not one bite.
Example.
She ain't looking for a little subdivision. She want the whole country.
That's right. If I open,
she want the whole thing.
I don't get a gallon. Don't think that.
She could knock it out. You could knock out a gallon if you wanted to.
I don't want to.
I know.
Not in one sitting anyway. Anyway, they don't have a full pint anymore. It's a 14 ounces instead of 16.
She got a science on
it. I call it a small pint. But the thing is that I know that if I crack the lid, I'm going to the bottom. I throw the lid away because I plan to eat the whole thing.
That's not
a good thing. I need to change my
confession. She's talking about the
creme
de la glace.
Creme de glace, not de glace.
Whatever. She used to like Baskin and Robbins. I swear to God, people, this is true.
I have improved.
Don't listen to her. She's a liar when I say this, but it's the truth. I would go to Baskin and Robbins and buy them 3-gallon containers, you know, that they serve out of, on a Monday. And by Friday, it was gone. Because Kathy would serve herself because she believed in abundance. Not one of the, she'd get one of them big pot spoons, you know, one of them kind that you can stir a gumbo. I mean, a big one.
I would put it under the hot water so it would like this. Slide into that
they would
container.
Mount Everest on her bowl. And my brother-in-law loved the way she served ice cream. So she'd say, Jules, how much ice cream you want? And would he say,
just serve me as much as you would yourself.
You ought to see
it. It was funny.
They would eat that. And after a while, they were like this. They had sugar highs.
You should say nothing about that because that was my birthday present. That's
well, yeah,
what
there's
I got.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's what I got from birthday, and then you want to criticize how I enjoy my present.
I just don't understand how you can eat 3 gallons of ice cream in 5 days.
Well, just think about how you can consume bags of potato chips or Cheetos or that kind of stuff. That's your favorite snack of choice.
But that ain't as much calorie. And
it
anyway,
it doesn't matter.
If I want to live another day, you eat all the ice cream you want, Kat. That'd be fine. Hallelujah.
You don't have to tell me that. I'll do it if I want.
In other words, right now we're starting to stumble. Here's a point. A stumble is not a loss. It's just another opportunity to get back up and succeed.
That's
so I'll get you another 3 gallons.
No, I don't want it. Trust me. I do not need it.
You love it. The Gat girl love Haagen-Dazs.
But God intended us to enjoy the sweet.
Bible said, eat the fat
and drink the sweet.
Oh, yeah. It's a blessing of the Lord.
Because this is the day the Lord has made. It talks about the joy of the Lord is your strength.
If you put
in that whole chapter.
Ice cream here and a piece of cheese here, I'm going to take the cheese.
I'm going to take the ice cream.
And Kat's going to take that. And I probably eat way too much cheese. I just flat love cheese, you know. You know what I did one time? And this is a true story. I remember I should say it. When I was 18, I went to work as a kitchen helper offshore for Texaco. We would feed maybe 89 or 100 men. I was just they called it a flunky. That's what it was called, you know. Now, these boats would come in. I mean, we'd have half a cow. Two or three of them hanging, and then they'd cut off, make steaks.
Because they had a lot of men to feed.
Oh, yeah,
how many
men
were offshore when you worked there?
Oh, at that
on the rig.
On the platform, had a bunch of rigs. They would come in.
Okay.
It'd be over 100 men. And anyway, they would give you cheese in 25-pound blocks. You ever seen it? Yeah, this way. Now, and they might have 10 of them. They put them in a cooler. So I would take one that I liked, and I'd put her there for Jesse. And of course, you know, and I would make sure that nobody would cut a piece off. Every time I went in a cooler, I bit it.
That's disgusting.
I know it's disgusting. But I had bites, but that kept their lips off my cheese.
Of course, it would keep me off of it, for sure.
And I tell you, it wouldn't take long. I'd go to them 25 pounds. Well, not 1 week.
You probably never hit the bathroom either.
Probably a lot of times. I love cheese. Till today, I mean, I like cheese of all kinds.
And you don't see me ridiculing you for having
a whole bunch of
cheese.
Did I ridicule her because she ate 3 gallons of ice cream? Have I told you the truth? I made you my enemy?
Yeah, I kind of think you did.
Okay, let me say this again. A stumble is not a loss. It's just another opportunity to get back up and succeed. Oh,
that's so good.
Ooh, I like that. And I tell you this, and I know what you're thinking right now. Well, you know, Jesse, I love to have a vision, but you know, I'm not you, and I'm not Sister Kathy. Here's the point: most people who have seen great success with God have not been perfect, but they've been faithful.
That's good.
Who was the head of Jesus' band? Peter, but he would cuss you out and kill and cut your ear off with a knife. Pretty tough preacher, huh? He wasn't perfect, and no one is other than Christ Jesus, but they've been found faithful.
Well, if you look at the 12 that Jesus...
You know, you haven't been perfect, but you have been found faithful.
You know, you haven't been perfect, but you've been found faithful.
That's true. I like that.
Well...
Faithful is where it's at. What do you mean? Well, I have...
We all have had times.
We
have, yeah, well, for the Lord, yeah. But
that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Y'all pray for my wife. No, Jesus help her.
But the people that Jesus chose were not perfect. And I've been studying the book of Mark so often in there how they were just looking for position, wanting to be next to him, and his kingdom came. And, you know, they were just arguing amongst themselves who's the greatest. He did miracles, and he just say, send the people away. They didn't want to fool with the crowds. He did. I mean, Mark, especially in the Gospel of Mark, which I've been studying, just exposes what the shortcomings of those disciples, how they were spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, about so many things, but he was teaching them all along
the
way.
You have to teach people.
But God, you still use them. And that after they were filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room, they did great things. I remember that great women of God were even in the upper room.
Mary Magdalene was a phenomenal person.
But I remember you told a point, I don't know if it was at the Believers' Convention or in a previous sermon, but you talked about how Jesus did not make many converts, but the ones that he did made many.
Yeah.
I love that statement.
Because
it's so true.
At the church.
Yeah, I love that. But even though he did have some villages, but the disciples did even more. That's what he told them. He says, the works that I do, you're going to do even greater.
Let me leave you with a thought here. Daydreams or idle thoughts, they're a form of escape. Determined thoughts have purpose and direction. Mm. They are thoughts with intent. They take you places. You see, wandering around in a daydream never lets you believe what it takes so you can change what it takes to start doing what it takes. Mm. Think about that for a while. You see, you want determined thoughts with purpose, direction, and intent, and it'll come to pass for you.
I love that.
I tell you, we're already out of time. Lord Jesus, I hope you enjoyed our boardroom chat today. Send us some more testimonies. We kind of wanted to do a little update on the Southwest Believers, and then we got to preaching a little bit.
And they got a lot of stuff coming up. You know, we're not slowing down. This has been a busy summer. Of course, we had our beautiful, wonderful visionary conference that we had in July, but we're going to be going to Nashville.
This Friday night.
Yeah, Friday during the day. Go ahead and announce it.
This Friday, August the 7th, we're going to be at Faith is the Victory Church, Nashville. Kathy's going to preach. This is Friday morning at 10 a.m., and then I'm going to preach at 11 a.m. if she gives me enough time.
I'll give you time.
And then I'll preach that night at 7 p.m. We'll be laying hands on the sick, ministering to people.
It's a powerful day.
It's going to be that's this Friday, August the 7th, at Faith is the Victory Church.
In Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville, Tennessee.
So go to our website for the address. All that information is on there. We want to see you there.
And then 2026 European meetings are coming up. We're going to be in Dessen, Netherlands on Wednesday, August the 26th. Zurich, Switzerland on Thursday, August the 27th. Sofia, Bulgaria on Friday, August the 28th. Now, do you understand why I have my own plane? Because they can't, the commercial people can't do that. And then we're going to be in Nice, France on Saturday and Sunday, August the 29th and the 30th. I'm telling you, man, we're like gazelles. So get all the information at our meetings page at JDM. Also, 2026 Heaven Tour, Friday. Well, I'm busy in August. August the 14th at 7 p.m., I'll be at Living Word Christian Center in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. That's right there by Minneapolis.
Yes.
In-person only service. We will not be filming. We will not be doing any of that. You have to be there live. If you want to learn more about it, at jdm.org. So upcoming Heaven Tour dates, we got some more Friday, September the 18th at Eagle Mountain International Church in Newark, Texas.
Yes.
Friday, November the 13th at Faith Life Church in Sarasota, Florida. And we just booked something in Sydney, Australia.
Yes.
That we're going to do a Heaven Tour.
More details to come. We believe it'll be in May of 2027. Well, I want to do some Heaven Nation tours.
Right. And listen, go to our jdm.org and you can find out all that information.
All that detail.
Partners, thank you once again for supporting this ministry. We believe in God for 20,000 people to give $1,000. Some give more, some give less, because we have two projects that are worth that amount of money. And I got to finish this. Kathy's starting on one as soon as I get off this thing. She's going out there and moving people to do this and do that. And God is doing so many wonderful things. 100% of
what
you give.
We're advancing.
Yeah. 100% goes into world evangelism. We've been debt-free since 1982. So if you send $1,000, all of it goes. If you send $1, all of it goes. Nothing goes to pay debt. Isn't that a blessing of God? Thank you for watching our boardroom chats.
And we're believing for you, for your vision to continually advance.
Amen.
Every partner, we pray for you every single
day. And I'm going to say one thing to bind myself. I want to just, I may do a podcast. I've just been running so much. I want to do a podcast on this, on our new book, Create Your World and Walk in It, and maybe take it chapter by chapter and really explain it face to face. And I'd like to do it live if I could.
Well,
and that way people
great?
Could bring in, they could ask questions and things of that nature. Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be on a specific day.
No.
You can do it whenever your schedule allows. That way you can do a live thing.
Right.
It'll be fresh.
That'd
be great.
Fine.
So you'll have to be watching for it on social
Amen.
Media. We'll give you a heads up a few days ahead. We could plan for it.
Right.
But it's going
to
be powerful.
Anyway, we gave you a lot of stuff. Go to jdm.org. You can get all the information. And thank you for being a part of it, okay? Nothing too small and nothing too big. Till next week, Sister Kathy.
Brother Jesse.
Saying we love you. God bless you.
Bye-bye.